Part 4, Chapter 12. Apparently, Finn's new thing was waking up completely confused. This time he found himself lying on his back, but for some reason the world was sliding by around him.
He lifted his head, which caused pain to flare at his temples, and saw the back of Rose's jumpsuit.
She had found a cart and was dragging it and him down a corridor on the Raddus.
"You've got to be kidding me," Finn said, his mouth and tongue struggling to form the words properly. I can't move. What happened?
Then, realization flooded in.
"You stunned me," he yelped accusingly. "With a stun thing. Oh my God, you're totally insane. Help!"
Rose gave him a look that suggested the stun thing might be part of his future, too.
"I'm taking you to the brig and turning you in for desertion," she said.
"Why?"
"Because you were deserting?"
"No," Finn protested.
She stopped guiding the cart and got in his face. They were nose to nose.
"My sister just died protecting the fleet," she said. "I heard what you did on the Starkiller base. Everyone was talking about you. You were a hero for the Resistance. And you were running away?"
"Sorry," Finn said. "But I did what I did to help my friend, not to join another army."
He knew that was a mistake even as he said it. Rose's disappointment in him was palpable, and so was her anger. Finn realized he had to talk fast, or his next foggy awakening would come on the Raddus's brig, and then it would be too late.
I don't know what you know, but this fleet is doomed," he explained. "If my friend comes back to it, she's doomed too. I'm going to get this beacon far away from here. Then she'll find me and be safe."
"You're a selfish traitor," Rose snapped.
"Look," Finn said pleadingly. "If I could save Rey by saving the Resistance fleet, I would. But I can't. Nobody can."
"Uh-huh,"
Rose said dismissively.
"We can't outrun the First Order fleet," Finn said.
"We can jump to light speed."
"They can track us through light speed."
That stopped Rose.
"They can track us through light speed?"
She hadn't known. But then, of course she hadn't known. Finn knew what it was like to spend shift after shift below decks on a warship, doing droid work and being told nothing. Hey, at least Rose hadn't been sweating herself half to death in a body glove and armor.
"They'll just show up 30 seconds later and we'd have blown a ton of fuel, which, by the way, we're dangerously short on," Finn said.
Rose was still grappling with this latest bit of information.
"They can track us through light speed,"
she said again, her mind far away.
"See? Yes! I can't feel my teeth. What did you shoot me with?"
"Active tracking,"
Rose said. Finn looked up from checking that all his teeth were where he'd left them.
"What now?"
"Hyperspace tracking is new tech, but the principle must be the same as any active tracker,"
Rose mused.
"I've done maintenance on active trackers. They're single source to avoid interference. So..."
Finn realized the implication and finished her sentence along with her.
"They're only tracking us from the lead ship.
Rose nodded, but Finn could see her mind was far away again, pondering the problem.
"But hyperspace tracking takes a lot of computing power," she said. "The whole fleet would have to be computer banks, which is crazy, unless..."
"Unless what?"
Finn asked warily.
"A static hyperspace field generator,"
Rose said.
"That's how they're doing it."
What now?"
Rose bit her lip. It looked like she'd forgotten he was there.
"Instead of adding lots of computers, you add lots of processing cycles," she said. "You do that by surrounding the computers with a hyperspace field generator. You could speed them up a billionfold, assuming nothing melts or gets accelerated right through the ship's hull. It's theoretical stuff, super advanced tech. But if anyone can make it work, it's the First Order."
"So they've made it work. How do we make it not work?"
Rose looked at him appraisingly. She started to say something, then stopped. Finn cocked his head at her. You're going to say but. I can tell. You've got that going to say but look.
But, Rose said, her brow wrinkling, we can't get to the tracker. It's an A-class process. They'll control it from the main bridge.
No, Finn said, and she gave him another one of her looks. I mean, yes, but every A-class process... This time, she was the one who followed the thought to its logical conclusion and voiced it along with him.
Has a dedicated power breaker.
They looked at each other. Now Finn's teeth hurt. Did that mean things were getting better or worse?
But who knows where the breaker room would be on a Star Destroyer?
Rose asked. Finn tapped his chest.
The guy who used to mop it. Deep in the sub-engine complex. If I can get us there.
Rose tapped her own chest.
I could shut their tracker down.
Yes! Rose, we've got to bring this plan to someone we can trust.
Whoa,
she objected.
When I said we, I didn't mean us.
You've got to be kidding me. We could save the fleet.
Rose shook her head.
You're a weirdo, traitor. I'm maintenance. I'll file your plan.
Bo!
Finn said desperately, worried she was about to stun him again.
I'm Rose, remember?
She replied, annoyed.
No, Rose, Poe. Take me to Poe Dameron, and we'll tell him the plan. Poe, Rose, please!
Poe Dameron? He'll be busy.
He'll see me, Finn said. Hero of the Resistance, right?
That was another mistake. Rose scowled, one hand creeping toward the device holstered on her belt, with its wicked-looking charge prongs.
Just let him hear it,
Finn said hastily.
If he says no, you can stun me. With the stun thing.
I totally will, you know.
Finn didn't doubt it for a second. He watched Rose making up her mind.
I don't know why I'm trusting you,
she said, disgusted.
It's the baby face,
Finn replied.
Blessing and a curse.
Give that to me one more time,
Poe said.
But simpler.
Rose and Finn had found him in General Organa's chambers, which had been converted into a makeshift med center. The Resistance leader lay motionless on a gurney, surrounded by instruments and tended to by white-plated MD-15 medical droids. C-3PO hovered nervously nearby, while BB-8 was circling the room, beeping mournfully. Rose watched Finn prepare to walk Poe through their hastily conceived plan again, the one she was reluctantly beginning to think might not be such a terrible idea after all. She wished Paige could have seen this. Her kid sister, the maintenance tech, talking with the best star pilot in the Resistance, and the galactic hero that Paige had hoped to meet one day. Paige would have gotten such a kick out of it. Well, except for the part where Rose had found her hero sneaking into an escape pod. Finn was handsome. Rose had to admit that. It was too bad about the weird traitor thing. And the bizarre crush on the friend of his. Whoever this Ray was, she had to be quite something to make you desert people you'd fought alongside and a cause you'd come to believe in. But then, she remembered, Finn had grown up in First Order training halls, one of those luckless orphans who got numbers instead of names. Maybe that was why he'd fallen so hard for his friend. The number of people who'd ever been nice to him must be depressingly small.
The First Order is only tracking us from one destroyer, the lead one, Finn said.
So you blow that one up?
Poe asked eagerly, and Rose fought the urge to roll her eyes.
Fighter pilots, even aces, were all alike.
I like where your head's at, but no. They would just start tracking us from another destroyer, Finn said.
Rose found the holoprojector built into Leia's desk and activated it, displaying a schematic of the mega destroyer that Poe had been studying.
But,
Rose said,
but if we can sneak on board that lead destroyer and disable the tracker without getting caught, Finn said.
They won't realize it's off for one system cycle,
Rose cut in.
About 6 minutes.
That buys the Resistance fleet a quick window to jump to hyperspace untracked, Finn said.
And escape,
piped up C-3PO.
Brilliant!
Finn ticked off the elements of the plan on his fingers. Sneak on board, turn off the tracker. Our fleet escapes before they realize.
Poe considered that cautiously.
Rose could see him trying to calculate the odds, but BB-8 was beeping excitedly.
You don't get a vote,
Poe told him, then turned to Rose.
What do you think?
Somehow the fact that this was all my idea got lost in the telling, she said. But if he gets us to the tracker, I can shut it down. I think it would work.
Poe considered that, then looked up at them.
How did you two meet?
He asked, curious. The look of panic on Finn's face was actually pretty entertaining.
Just luck,
Rose said.
Good luck?
Not sure yet.
Poe chewed it over, his gaze returning to Leia, where she lay unconscious.
Poe, this will save the fleet and save Rey, Finn said. We have to do it.
Rey.
Rose really wanted to stun him again.
If I must be the sole voice of reason, Admiral Poldo will never approve this plan. In fact, it's exactly the sort of brash heroics that would particularly infuriate her.
Poe smiled broadly.
You're right, 3PO. The planners need to know. And she doesn't.
That wasn't exactly what I...
The protocol droid objected, as BB-8 whistled approvingly.
All right. You guys shut down that tracker, and I'll be here to jump us to light speed, Poe said. How do we sneak the two of you onto Snoke's destroyer?
We steal a First Order shuttle,
Rose said. Finn's face fell.
No good. We need clearance codes.
Rose scowled, thinking this was the kind of problem someone familiar with First Order security procedures might have brought up earlier.
So we steal clearance codes,
she said. But Finn was shaking his head.
They're biohex encrypted and re-scramble every hour, he said. It's impossible. Their security shields are airtight. We can't get through them undetected. Nobody can.
Poe and Rose looked at him dolefully. Then, Finn thought of someone who just might be able to prove him wrong. In her more than a millennium of life, Maz Kanata had been wounded 67 times, with 22 of those wounds serious enough to nearly kill her. She'd been submerged in liters of Bacta, swaddled in meters of med patches, attached to more than a dozen droids, and spent weeks with no assistance whatsoever, relying on her own stubborn constitution and the will of the Force to avoid becoming one with it. Absent some remarkably bad luck she didn't see coming, which, granted, was the kind that tended to do you in, this present spot of bother wasn't going to add to her tally. She'd rate the current dust-up as something between a misunderstanding and a tantrum, a situation that had gone sufficiently off the rails that one party had to salve its hurt pride by shooting at the other. That happened. She knew all the principles and was reasonably sure that within a few weeks the survivors would be in a cantina, having a grand time clanking glasses, comparing pockmarks left by blaster burns, and drinking to the memory of the unlucky departed. But that time hadn't arrived yet. Until it did, not getting shot struck her as an excellent policy. Maz ducked a blast that was a little too close, firing her pistol back in that direction to show her lack of appreciation, and turned one goggle-covered eye to her hologram transmitter. Four figures shimmered in the blue transmission field. One of them was Finn, the young First Order deserter who'd caught her interest on Takodana before his former colleagues arrived and did so much damage to her operations. She'd been curious about what she'd seen in his eyes then, and wondered what they'd show her now. Was it possible he'd learned the patience he'd so thoroughly lacked then, Maz doubted it. Finn was only human, after all. Human lifespans, regrettably, were a couple of centuries too short for patience to stop being a virtue and become a habit. Maz recognized two of the others. Poe Dameron looked like he'd stepped out of one of Leia Organa's recruiting posters. But war heroes were a decacred a dozen. He needed to fail a few times to become intriguing. As for Leia's protocol droid, he'd never been allowed to accumulate the logic snarls and quirks that might have given him something interesting to say in one of those 7 million languages he was always boasting about. Still, unlike the others, he had no expiration date. A few billion more processor cycles without a memory wipe might make him into an amusing companion. The fourth person in the hologram was a young woman, wearing a painfully dull-looking jumpsuit. She was new to Maz, and broadcasting loss and confusion through the Force. But this Rose had toughness and resilience, too. Maz made a note to remember her, and take the opportunity to look into her eyes someday. She was curious to see what was in them, and to figure out in whose life she'd encountered them before. But there wasn't time for that now. Not with the galaxy in such a hurry again. And these four wanted something from her. What was it again? Oh, right. A simple request, really. One she would have granted offhandedly in different circumstances, if only to see what currents it set flowing through Finn's and Rose's possibilities. But with things the way they were now, the two of them would have to show some initiative instead of relying on her.
Could I do it?
Maz asked.
Of course I could do it. But I can't do it. I'm a little tied down right now.
Finn struck her as more alarmed by all the blaster fire around her than a former stormtrooper should have been. But maybe that was why he no longer was one.
Maz, what is happening?
He asked.
Union dispute. You don't want to hear about it, she said. But lucky for you, there's exactly one guy I trust who can get you past that kind of security. A master codebreaker, a soldier, freedom fighter, and ace pilot. A poet with a blaster, and the second best smuggler I've ever met.
Oh, said C-3PO. It sounds like this fellow can do everything.
Oh, yes. He can,
Maz said, and let herself remember some of the better capers and exploits she'd helped him engineer. He really was one of her favorite beings, though she knew one of his bouts of inattention would likely be the death of him before he got truly interesting. Well, either that or his inflated ego. But then both maladies were among the many hazards of dealing with humans. Maz had learned long ago that she had to enjoy their adventures while she could. The crackle and tang of ionized air broke her reverie.
And he's sympathetic to the Resistance, Maz said. You'll find him at Canto Bight on Cantonica.
Cantonica?
Asked Poe.
But that's... Maz, is there any way we can do this ourselves?
So impatient, that one. If he isn't flying a starfighter, he's at a loss. It's too bad. I like that set to his jaw.
Maz surveyed the battlefield and realized her position was about to be overrun. That would be an annoyance.
Sorry, kiddo, Maz said. This is rarefied cracking. You want on that destroyer? You've got one option. Find the master codebreaker. You'll recognize him by the red plum bloom on his lapel.
She activated the jetpack she was wearing, cutting the transmission as she ascended. Soaring into the sky, Maz wondered if her friends would find the master codebreaker. She didn't speculate, knowing it was useless. Like everything else in the galaxy, whether they succeeded or failed, or discovered that their destiny involved neither of the two,
would depend on the will of the Force. Still, she could wish them luck.